back, Daniel.
Well, Brad, in our Touchpoints Rehab interview, Chair State Representative Prasad Srinivasan, and he is running for governor, seeking the Republican Party gubernatorial nomination. And, Representative, always a pleasure. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It's great to be back here, and I appreciate the invitation.
Well, again, you have been busy.
Extremely busy, working 24/7. And as I told you, if there were 36 hours in a day, we'd be working 36 hours a day.
What was the motivation for you? You've been a great representative. There's no question. Ask the folks in the Simsbury area or in the Glastonbury area, and they'll tell you they really, really like you.
Right.
What motivated you to get into this?
Thank you for asking that question. I don't think I've shared that with you, either of you, or with your listeners. My personal story, and I'm so glad you began with that today. In 1975, I arrived at Kennedy Airport. First person in my family immigrated into this country, $7.50 in my pocket, no roof above me. I just arrived, a 25-year-old kid, arrived at Kennedy Airport with a dream, with a vision that this is a land of opportunity. And 2 years later, my wife joins me, $8.50 in her pocket. And that's our beginning in this beautiful, beautiful nation, from 1975 to where we are today. And look at the opportunity I have been provided, my wife has been provided, and our family. And now that we are in this phase of my life, my two adult children, well settled, grandchildren, four grandchildren, it is my moral obligation, it is my moral duty to give back to this beautiful state that has been so generous, so kind to me. And when I see what's happening in Connecticut, when I see in 1980, I moved to Connecticut. I chose to come to Connecticut. There was no reason for me to come to Connecticut. As I said, I'm the first generation immigrant, my wife and I, with our two-year-old son. I could have gone anywhere in the country. I don't have any roots here. I was not born here. I was not raised here. I chose to come to Connecticut. And now people are choosing, unfortunately, to leave Connecticut. That has to stop. And that is my motivation. The motivation, the opportunity that I had, the opportunity my family had, we have to make sure for generations to come, people will call Connecticut home. They'll be proud to call Connecticut home. And I want to live here forever. I do not want to move out. When I retire from my practice or retire from political life, I want to continue to live in Connecticut and not go anywhere. But we have to create that environment that is conducive for all of us to stay in the state. And that is the drive. That is the motivation. As you know, I'm very fortunate, have a phenomenal practice. I couldn't have dreamt it in my life to be as well as I am in my practice. I'm ready to step away from that because in public good, in general good, is more important, far more important than your own personal good. And that is my motivation. That is why I am seeking this office.
Now, Representative, by the way, people can also watch this interview. We're online on our Facebook page, facebook.com/talkofct. Facebook.com/talkofct. Representative, the legislature, as you know, recently passed a budget, finally ended this budget fiasco. What was your take? I mean, you're a state representative, Republican. What was your take on the budget?
You know, it was a lot of hard work. As you know, we've had the Republicans had multiple budgets in this particular session. And finally, we passed a bipartisan budget. Yes, by a narrow margin, both in the Senate and the House. And the governor chose to veto that budget. That was extremely disappointing to a lot of us. Because here we are, having come with a bipartisan budget. That should have been signed. But obviously that did not happen. We have to move forward. And then came this conversation between the Democrats and the Republicans, where we had we were at the table constantly, consistently, the Republican leadership. And as you know, the governor was kept out of this conversation completely. And then came this budget between the Democrats and the Republicans, which finally the governor has signed into law. But in that too, as I'm sure you know, there's one little part of it about the hospital tax,
to go back next week and fix that.
We're going back Wednesday. We're back there again this Wednesday to make that fix. I think, to the best of our knowledge, it's more of a technical fix. It's the language, the way it's written, so there should be no ambiguity at all. And here we are going to increase the taxes in the hospitals from 6% to 8%, but want to make sure that the compensation from the federal government comes into our state. And because of language, we cannot, give you that money. That cannot happen.
What is that going to do, though? What is that going to do to the costs for people that have to go into the hospitals? It's gonna, it's gonna come back to the people. So what is that gonna do? It's gonna hurt a lot of them.
No, it will not hurt, because the taxes will go up on the hospital, not on the people.
So but eventually the hospital's got to get it from somewhere.
No, the hospital will get it from. This is a convoluted way of accounting.
Sounds like government.
Yeah, it's a government. Yeah,
sounds
it
like
is.
Government, right there.
But
thank
it's
you.
The state or the federal government. So yes, I'm glad you cleared that. So when the taxes go up from 6 to 8%, like when our insurance premiums go up, obviously we are paying for it, right? Because when the insurance rates go up, at the end of the day, the consumer is paying. But in this equation, fortunately, the consumer is not paying. What happens is that extra money, that taxes, will be compensated at the federal level, and this will come into the general fund, and the general fund in turn will give it back to the hospital. That's the hope, that's the promise, and don't hold your breath.
Did you support this last budget?
No, I didn't.
So you voted against this last budget?
Correct.
How come?
And I did. And as I said, I'm very respectful of the work that was done by my leadership along with the Democrats. And I was extremely vocal about that, both in our caucuses and in a respectful way on the floor of the House. And my concerns as to why I could not support the present budget that has been signed is it did not go far enough as far as the structural changes. I'm a firm believer in we cannot have a Band-Aid approach. We cannot keep on putting a bigger and bigger Band-Aid. I ask questions on the floor of the House about the constitutional spending cap. Is every item included?
Is it?
No, it's going to be phased in, and that worries me. I was not happy with the bonding cap. We are still continuing to borrow, and the bonding cap was too generous, according to me. And we still have to look again and again at the benefits, healthcare benefits, the pension benefits of all our state employees.
Now,
so
both
structural
your
changes did not happen
now
enough.
Now, both your leader, House Minority Leader Themis Claridis, although she was kinder, and Senate Republican President Len Fasano specifically took me to task because I called the budget Democratic Party light, and he was very irritated by that. He said it's the first step. The Republicans at least got some of what they wanted in this budget, and because they're not totally controlling the government in the governor's seat or in the House chamber, this was the best deal he could get. He called it a step in the right direction. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm glad you used the word the first step. And that's exactly what I wrote about when I called this budget out and put it up on the website and other information. I said, you know what? We constantly, consistently are taking the first step. At some point, we've got to grow up and say, we are past the first step. I've been in the state as a state representative for 7 years, going on into my 8th year come January. We are still at the first step. At some point, we've got to say, if we continue to do first steps, the first step will be taken by your children and your grandchildren, and that is unacceptable to
me. And Dan, you're shaking your head up and down,
Prasad,
and you're right.
You're singing my song, and like I said, when I took the Republicans to task for supporting this budget, see, I thought what they should have done was go back to the original budget that was passed, Let that stand. Bring it up for a vote to see if there was enough to override. And if there wasn't enough, I would have said to the Democrats, okay, it's your problem. You come up with a budget then. Instead, I thought the Republicans caved. Like I said, Senator Fasano very irritated with me. I mean, we went at it on the air, and that's fine. I have a lot of respect for Senator Fasano. But that said, to me, what was agreed to, Prasad, is if the Democrats take over again and control both chambers and win the governor's chair again, everything that was agreed to in this budget off the table,
right?
Taxes will go up, they'll destroy the spending cap, and all that was agreed to in this budget.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, but with one exception. It's the Republicans that are going to take control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's seat as well come 2018.
Well, I mean, to me, that's the only way you achieve what you really wanted to achieve in this last budget.
Right. And you're absolutely right. You and I are in tune, because that's what I felt, that we have a budget. The first budget that the governor vetoed, that's the budget that should have been brought back. That should have been a budget that should have been debated and let it go the way it goes. It does not matter whether it was overturned or not overturned. I get that. We passed it, as I said earlier, by a narrow margin. The chances of overriding are very slim, very, very slim at best. But at least we can say we are honest about it. This is our budget. This is what we want, and not negotiate and get what we got.
You know,
which to me, with a lot of transfers that happened, a lot of hidden taxes that were there, and the structural changes did not happen, was not good enough for me.
You know, Representative, when you talk about Connecticut, and nobody faces this problem, we are overwhelmed, and I use that word purposely, by the Democratic Party. And the way the unions are set up, and they get very upset with me when I mention this. However, we are one of four states, okay, that the unions have such clout. And I think that we've got to sit down with them and talk with them before we're going to get by the area that we're by right now. Don't you?
I agree with you 100%. You know, we have to take leadership. We cannot continue status quo and just move around, taking one step here, one step there, a small step here and a small step there. The most important thing is, how are we going to be able to bring the unions to the table and make it work, not for them, but for Connecticut? And it can be done. It can be done. And we have examples, right, on both sides of the aisle. Look at Rhode Island. Rhode Island did that,
yep.
And that's a Democratic governor. And look at what Wisconsin did, and they did it with a Republican governor. So regardless of which side of the aisle you're in, you have to have a conversation and take leadership and be bold enough to say, you know what, this is what I will do. This is my agenda, and we need to move forward. If we constantly cave in and agree with the unions, we are not going anywhere at all except in one direction, and you know what the direction is.
That's why I brought it up.
Well, you're singing my song. Representative, hold on. We've got a traffic update, Brad, and then we'll be back with Prasad Srinivasan.
Okay, and let's check that traffic, see how the flow is this morning. Cindy, good morning. Good morning again. How does it look?
Good morning, Brad. It's not looking too bad out there. 84, normal delays through Waterbury. We're okay heading into Hartford. Just a little slowdown into I-91. 66 in Marlboro. Car versus utility pole crash at Parker Road. It's subject to closure. It's been out there for quite a while. West Road's your best bet. 2 westbound gets a little bit busy into the Founders Bridge. Metro North delayed up to 30 minutes on the new Canaan branch because of a downed tree. This report is brought to you by the Foundation for a Better Life. Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat. Today they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:07 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And thank you. Thank you very much, Cindy. 7:48, 12 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Going to be an interesting election. There's no question about it, and I think, if you just look at some of the facts that happened, you know, in the last year, the Republican Party has made progress. Do you believe that you can go above the progress that has been made already or not?
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in that. And the people in Connecticut, our constituents, have had, unfortunately, more than enough of this one-party rule, of this constant higher taxes. And look what those taxes have done for us. It is time for change, not change, just because of change. Because we have the leadership, we have the courage to make it happen. It is a revenue issue. It is more than a revenue issue. It's a spending issue. And we've got to bring the spending under control, whether it be our unions, whether it be our bonding, whether it be the structural changes.
Hold that thought. Thank you.
And we'll be right back, coming up to 10 minutes now before the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Disney CEO Robert Iger has disclosed new details on coming streaming services and the Star Wars film franchise as the company reported declines in three of its four core businesses for the latest quarter. Iger says Disney is developing new TV series based on some of its biggest franchises, Star Wars, Monster Inc., High School Musical, and Marvel, that will be carried on a Netflix-style streaming service set to launch in the second half of 2019. The chief editor of Kremlin-funded satellite TV channel RT says the company will accede to a U.S. demand to register as a foreign agent, but intends to challenge the issue in court. RT reported that the Justice Department has demanded the registration by Monday. Equifax says its quarterly profit dropped 27% as costs mounted in the wake of a massive hack at the company that led customers to take business elsewhere. Crude oil trading at $57.15 a barrel on Wall Street, futures are lower. That's Your Money Now.
The Cowan Tax Advisory Group, just a tremendous, tremendous company. And son Dylan is a very, very bright young man. And you can learn your Medicare options. You can save yourself time. You can save money. And you don't have to worry about aggravation. Give Dylan a call at the Cowan Tax Advisory Group for an easy-to-understand review of plans and benefits. He'll do it all for you. Call now for your free appointment. It's absolutely free, 860-676-1100. But get it done, 860-676-1100 or online at CowanTaxGroup.com.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former Honda and Nissan owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
Fall is here, friends, and that means it's time to winterize your home. WeatherTight Systems can help. They're the roofing, siding, windows, and gutters experts. Receive $500 off a complete gutter helmet and helmet heat system for your home. For as low as $49 per month, you can have a new gutter system installed. Never clean your gutters again for as low as $49 a month. Visit WeatherTiteSystems.com.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Did I mention that Liberty Mutual saved us almost $800 when we switched our auto and home insurance?
Liberty did what?
Mm-hmm. It gave us a little extra cushion in our budget, which we used to upgrade Billy's football pads.
He's got a little extra cushion, all right.
Nobody's going to hurt my baby.
Mom, I can't move.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can save $782 when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Napa Know How.
Making your budget last longer than it should is an accomplishment. But making motor oil last longer than it should? Dangerous. Lucky for you, Pennzoil Full Synthetic is only $4.99 a quart. Its long-lasting formula and low price can help your engine and your wallet go farther. Pennzoil Full Synthetic for $4.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 12/31/17.
Weekdays at 12 noon on the Talk of Connecticut, it's the Drew Mortgage Show. If you have questions or concerns about your current mortgage or you're looking to refinance your home, call Douglas Rowan of Drew Mortgage. That's the Drew Mortgage Show. Weekdays at noon on the Talk of Connecticut.
Columbia Dental is offering free dental checkups and cleanings to veterans on Veterans Day, Saturday, November 11th, from 6 to 11 a.m. at their Rocky Hill First Floor office, 2049 Silas Dean Highway. People will be seen on a first-come, first-serve basis. A military identification card is requested as identification. That's this Saturday, Veterans Day, from 6 to 11 a.m. at Columbia Dental's Rocky Hill office, 2049 Silas Dean Highway.
7:54, 6 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. You know, I have talked to so many of you about my friends at CCS Insurance. Yes, they've been with us for several weeks now, auto and home insurance. And what they have done for you, it's just amazing. Because people that buy insurance, you know, sometimes they don't check it out. They don't know when they're going to be talked to by the insurance company. And what this organization does, these two guys that started the company, the process of getting multiple quotes has never been so easy. The good people at CCS Insurance even go one step further. Once you're a customer, they will reshop your policy at every renewal to make sure that you're still getting the lowest rate. And so many of my listeners have got these rates because they're on top of it. They deliver that new customer feeling again and again. And that's all I want you to do. I want you to sit down with them. They'll take care of you. I promise you that. CCS Insurance, give them a call at 860-321-2422, 860-321-2422, or visit them online at ccsinsurance.com and take advantage of this free and easy way to start saving money, and you're going to save a lot of it.
Brad, back with State Representative Prasad Srinivasan. He's running for governor. Representative, you mentioned, I mean, you're very upbeat about next year. The Republicans are going to take control. And yet, in your district, Glastonbury, in the municipal elections, for the first time in many years, they flipped and went Democratic. What do you make of that?
Yes, it was extremely disappointing, to say the least. And not only did I see that in Glastonbury, but I saw that quite a lot as far as the state is concerned as well. And I think it is the perfect time for us to look back and see, learn from what happened this past Tuesday, both in Glastonbury and the rest of the state. What is it? What is the message? How did we not reach out? How come we were ineffective in getting our message across?
Well, many thought the message that the Democrats used, that this was really a vote against Donald Trump, even though it was a municipal election, was the strategy. Did you view this as a vote, a repudiation of Donald Trump?
Unfortunately, I agree. I mean, and, you know, that ripple effect that we see from Washington, D.C. I see that in my campaign day in and day out. I get asked that question all the time.
About Trump?
About my opinions, about what's happening down in D.C. And I have to make sure that there are, that how I'm very respectful. I always will be about the president. I will always have the greatest regard and respect for our president. But do I agree with every single policy that is being talked about, that is being discussed, that's coming down from D.C., the answer is absolutely no. And therefore, that's how I differentiate myself, and I'm not shy about that at all. Are there issues that I agree with our president? Absolutely, yes. No question about that. I have talked about, I firmly believe that sanctuary cities is not the way for our nation to go, for our state to go. I firmly have always said that kneeling is not the way to go. We have to show respect to our flag, to our national anthem. It's a First Amendment. I agree with that. But there are different places where you can show what you have as a First Amendment. But when it comes to health care, I have said that again and again. You cannot just repeal and replace unless you have a solid plan. The present tax that they're talking about right now, the tax structures. You have the House plan, you have the Senate plan. Of course, it's not the president's plan yet, but that is also very concerning because the middle class are going to be squeezed in this, and I'm very concerned about that. So when I look at policies, I always tell everybody, judge me on who I am. Don't judge me because I happen to belong to a particular party. I believe in Republican principles. And what is that principle? Fiscal responsibility. Spend only what you have. Save for the rainy day. That is the reason I'm a Republican. That does not mean I'm going to toe the line and agree with anything and everything that comes down the pike.
We're out of time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. And
WDRC AM, WDRC FM, HD3 Hartford, WSNG Torrington, WWCO Waterbury, WMMW Meriden, The Brad and Dan Show, presented by Footprint Shoes and Accessories.
He tweets, economic security is vital to national security. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Trump at a summit of Asian leaders in Vietnam.
The current trade imbalance is not acceptable.
But he doesn't blame China or any other country.
If their representatives are able to get away with it,